Hey, everybody, it's Pod Dad Hal Loveland. Thank you for listening to Tights and Fights. If you love the show and you want to help us out, grow our audience. Put us over on Apple Podcasts with a 5-star rating, but even more importantly, a review. The more reviews we get, the more likely it is that you'll get the Tights and Fights merch you're all clamoring for. Let's get that merch. So go to Apple Podcasts right now, leave us a glowing review, and tell us what you love about the show.
Tights and Fights Podcast. It's the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Tights and Fights. Tights and Fights Podcast Wrestling! It's Mike, Hal, and Danielle. Julian is outside on the board. We're talking wrestling. We're going to start it right now. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm Hotel Alpha Lima Lublin. I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the dynamic dudette, Danielle Radford.
Woo! I just got to do some chair skanking.
I'm fine.
Little chair skanking.
That sounds way messier than it is.
And the chairman, Mad Mike Eagle.
Hello. I am mad. You hear me? Don't I sound mad?
Yeah.
I'm so mad.
Why? Because you're not skanking.
Exactly. I didn't get the skank memo.
You should have chair skanked. I mean, does there have to be a memo?
Yeah, I guess not.
You just sort of feel it,
it's
and then you do
heart.
It.
You're right. You guys are right. I'm not mad anymore.
The chair skanking was inside us all along. Take that. Now the hospital's saved. We got a lot to talk about, so let's get started with SmackDown's latest pay-per-view, Hell in a Cell. Probably the biggest development, Sami Zayn deciding that saving his best friend Kevin Owens was more important than being a hero. Let's hear it.
I know. I was the only one at the party that I went to that saw him, so I'm like yelling out, Sammy! And everyone's like, what? What happened? How did he get off?
They thought you were drunk.
Yeah. I was drunk, but I'm not because I'm doing October. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I was just boring and sober and happy to see friendship.
And you could see Sammy with perfect 2020 non-beer goggle vision.
Yeah.
Right?
What in the hell is going on?
What does it say about Sami Zayn that he, even in storyline, he could just sneak around to the side of the ring and nobody would know? It was somebody who was on the roster.
Oh, he should have used that in his promo.
Yeah. No, to be fair, someone did the research and was like, where was Sammy? Where was Sammy? So there's a bunch of videos that were put up. And yeah, he was just chilling right there because I guess everybody was waiting for the McMahon spot. So like no one was looking.
That is the perfect time to sneak out.
Yeah.
Any person is when Shane McMahon is on top of something tall.
Yeah.
This is rare. This is a Hell in the Cell where both the Hell in the Cell matches were really good.
Yeah.
Do you think that the Sami Zayn moment added to the match, took away from it, didn't do anything for
you? Only part of the match that I care about.
Oh, boy.
Really?
I don't care about, like, it made me cringe, and I got worked, because every time I'm like, ugh, y'all are too, Shane, you're too old to be on top of this cage, and no one needs it. Just like...
I did have a
cute... I guess if he falls through a cage once in a year, he gets to call Vince dad, and that's great.
Yeah.
I know the spectacle of it is to watch Shane throw himself off of something tall. I appreciate that he would rather do it than pay one of his wrestlers to do it.
Right.
But it's also like he is not good at wrestling. I appreciate that they added a trash can so that his coast to Midwest looked okay.
Oh, wow.
Tell us how you really
feel.
Y'all
know I'm right. So, yeah, I appreciate that. His little kitten punches, I can't handle it.
Yeah, the punches are bad. Yeah.
He looks like he's batting away a ball of string. Yeah. And I like Shane. I popped when he came back. I genuinely like him as a character. I don't know who he is as a person, but no one's really said anything too terrible about him.
No.
It's just that, you're not a wrestler. So, I kind of do want to see some good wrestling with my crazy stunt wrestling, and you're just not going to get it from Shane.
It's interesting that you call this a wrestling match. I would have called it a brawl between two guys who in storyline hate one another. So for that reason, it worked for me in that it was just a series of violence. They were clearly the ones going on top of the cage. Mm-hmm. I liked the match. I liked it a lot. I was surprised by the ending. enough that I was, not that I was like, what is happening? But more like, oh, this is really interesting because I'm dead inside. I was just, oh, this is really interesting. I can't wait to see how they, you know, where they're going with this. What does this mean for Sammy? What does this mean for Kevin? How did you feel?
I dug the match. I mean, Shane's never been a good wrestler, so I wasn't really looking for that for him. He's had good matches, you know, based on the spectacle. I mean, as soon as I understood that this feud was happening, I was like, okay, this is obnoxious. You know what I mean?
Just give it up and let it go. And I did. Yeah. I let go and let God. You guys know I'm usually the one on the podcast who lets go and lets God. But this was just one where I was like, I can't, if I have to watch him do that little boxing shuffle one more
time. Yeah, no, I don't like the boxing shuffle. I don't like the punches. And this match certainly gave me an acute anxiety every time I thought about something like the stuff on top of the ceiling. I'm like, one of these sides is going to land directly on their neck through the ring. And so, you know, that much was bothersome. But I enjoyed the match for what it was. I liked how they played upon our emotions with the different spots. And like, I love that spot where Kevin Owens climbed to the top and acted like he was going to jump off and he was walking around. Like, I really like, I love all the emotional manipulation that can come into play when you play with spots that dangerous.
And I especially do like the way he turned around when people started booing and being like, what are you doing? Will you get up here? And I was like, you know what? You're right, Kevin. Yeah.
I do wish his kids had sold a little better, Shane's kids, who were sitting there because he was like, look at your father. I'm beating him up. And the kids are like, ha, 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 wrestling's a work. We know. We're born into this business. One day, we'll be your boss.
They were born being able to see through kayfabe like Neo in the Matrix.
All they see is ones and zeros.
Yeah.
So everybody was wondering, why'd you do it, Sammy? We didn't have to wait long, because on Tuesday night, Sammy explained his actions. Here's a clip.
No, and I tried to be the good guy and do everything the right way and put all your hopes and dreams and your morals and your beliefs and your ideals and your values, and I put it all on my shoulder, and I embarked on a long, arduous journey, and it brought me all the way to mediocrity.
Guess what? Still a baby face to me.
Really?
100% right.
Here is the lie.
You know, it's funny, though, because him complaining like that reminds me why I didn't necessarily like him as a baby face all the time. Because
he complained then?
Yeah, he just seemed to be entitled all the time and seemed to think that he deserved things that, in my eyes, he hadn't necessarily earned in the WWE.
Okay.
And I feel like he's leaning into that, which makes him kind of a compelling heel.
I don't want to see him suddenly become Savage Sami Zayn. You do?
Yeah, that sounds different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's like, different.
I think for him, it's not what he does, it's how he does it that makes him a heel. So everything he does right now is fighting from underneath. But if he's doing the same moves and being cocky about it,
cocky's
that good.
Like,
for sure. Look how good I am. Look how great I am at this.
Imagine turning up that dance just like one little bit to suddenly he's cocky and skanking down.
But
you want to watch that dude get punched in the face.
But you would feel like he has to do something different because, like you say, he's been fighting from underneath, but giving his best effort and losing a lot.
Right.
So storyline-wise, it would seem like he'd have to make some sort of adjustment to start winning.
Cheat.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that works.
I mean, look, of course, nobody knows that this will happen. Probably won't. But if he did, you know, it doesn't take much to make a really over baby face, I think, to a really over heel. Just the same way that a really great heel, like The New Day, are super over baby faces. They're doing the same stuff they did when they were heels.
Yeah. Like, I think if you just do it like The New Day, where he's suddenly like, oh, I can cheat, but you don't change much else about the character. Like,
right.
I think that could still work for him.
Yeah. Speaking of The New Day, let's talk about the other big match from Sunday, the Usos versus The New Day for the tag team championships. Oh, man. I get why you put those guys on first, but also, boy, they should have put them on last because there was no way that any match that night was going to live up to how great the story was that they told in the ring.
Yep.
In my opinion. That's my Jim Ross impression.
That's a good Jim Ross.
Also,
Summer Barbecue.
Sonic. I don't know why Sonic doesn't sponsor the show. I passed three of them on my way to the studio, driving on I-40.
That's good. I like it.
Barbecue sauce.
There we go.
It's slobber knocker.
No, I loved the Usos and that. I love the stuff with the kendo sticks. I loved, like, the New Day busting out very whimsical. Like, they were like, how do we make things that you beat people with very silly? So it's like the rainbow kendo sticks and all of like the whimsical New Day stuff, the cowbell and blah, blah, blah.
The trombones.
Yeah, whereas the Usos were like, we're just going to hit you because we hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, I like that they set that up between the like, you know, we're dangerous, but we're also silly. And they're like, no, we will just punch you in the face. We're from the bad parts of Florida.
I think the Usos looked super smart and brutal. I think the New Day looked tough, and you forget it was rare even in their heel run that they really dealt out ass kickings.
Right.
Outside of that one Raw that they ended by like destroying the entire babyface half of the roster. But they looked super, super tough. Xavier Woods taking a beating with kendo sticks while he was chained over his head and then still fighting the match. I mean, everybody comes out of that match better than they were coming into it. So, was it the right move to put the championships on the Usos? I think it was.
Man, oh man.
I love when you start with a sigh.
How many title changes is this in the last?
30.
It feels like it.
Mm-hmm. So many.
I mean, does it not lessen the impact that it seems like every time these two have a pay-per-view match, the title changes hands?
I would normally say yes, because I'm not a fan of hot-shotting the title back and forth. But I really don't like it when it's a bunch of competitors, A, B, C, D.
Right.
As opposed to these teams are both so great that either one of them could win on any given night. And now at the end of this feud, the Usos have the belts and it's time to move on.
Okay.
That was their big thing, was this is where it ends.
I either didn't hear that or just didn't believe it.
I feel like you definitely didn't believe it.
Yeah.
I feel like it just went in and you were just like, your brain just translated it to something you did believe.
Right.
Let's talk about a few other matches from Sunday. Baron Corbin wins his first singles title in all of WWE, including the developmental territory, as he wins the United States Championship from AJ Styles after pinning the Perfect 10 Ty Dillinger.
I forgot that happened.
And now now AJ's free to move on because Corbin beat him clean last night. And we record these on Wednesdays, if you'll remember. I know this comes out on Thursday, so don't worry, Uncle Hal's fine. Was it the right move?
I think that's perfectly acceptable.
I agree.
I still, you know, the clean win over AJ last night made me feel a little weird. Felt like there's some other way they could have got out of that. You know, because the WWE has never been, they've never been afraid to just start issues with new people just by having people attack people.
Right.
You know, so I don't know if you needed to have a clean win over AJ to get him away from that feud.
But he's still a wolf or whatever his thing is.
He's a lone wolf.
He's a balding motorcycle wolf.
And I do like, I like him being like, I'm going to take my championship winnings, I'm going to buy a boat, and I'm going to use it to sail on your tears.
That was good. That was good. And I like all the nerds writing letters and all that he keeps going back to, like, and I like all that stuff.
Yeah.
He
should always be.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't care about us.
Well, completing a clean sweep for the heels in championship matches at Hell in the Cell, Jinder Mahal beat Shinsuke Nakamura to retain the WWE title, and Natty beat Charlotte to retain the women's title via disqualification, the chair to the leg. So it looks like Jinder and Shinsuke are done for now.
Oh, boy.
Thank you. That's a wrap on Jinder and Shinsuke. Jinder and Shinsuke.
Where does this leave Jinder?
Where does this leave Shinsuke?
Ugh. I just don't know.
This is bad.
He's going to be fine.
You're so hopeful. You're such
that.
A mark.
Julian,
you're such
Julian,
a mark for Shinsuke.
We have said that after every time they have done something dumb with Shinsuke. It's always like, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. When?
No. Because,
how soon is now?
Yeah.
Because you don't put a guy over Randy Orton and John Cena and then just immediately decide he's never going to win the championship. It's just not done. I think he's going to be just fine.
Yeah. I mean, he's not going to win it at WrestleMania. I say if he's going to win it, it'll be next summer.
Is he?
I don't think they're going to put him in that big a match at WrestleMania.
How many times have they been hinting at AJ versus Shinsuke for the last year?
We'll see. I suppose AJ would win the title at Survivor Series.
Now you're feeling me. There you go.
And then Shinsuke wins the Royal Rumble?
Sure. Or he just wins like a stupid five-man tournament or whatever.
Or Batista comes back and wins the Rumble again.
I'm for that.
I would love Batista to come back and be like, boo me now!
Right. With his pants somehow even tighter than last time.
Right?
That would be great. Like, just straight jeggings. That would be amazing.
I miss jeggings. I looked good in jeggings.
How do we feel about Natty winning? I like her as a heel.
That match was never
big. It never really got off the ground. Mm-hmm. It was fine up until it ended. And then it's like, it's over?
I like Natty. I like that she's getting a little run. I don't understand how she can be so good at acting on Toad Steve's, and it just does not translate when she gets in front of cameras for wrestling. I don't understand. She just short circuits in the middle of talking sometimes. I don't get it because she's so good on Toad Steve's. It's frustrating. Because that's fake, too.
I know. I'm not arguing.
There's different formats of fake.
I don't know what happened. I had to work earlier today, and that's why I think I'm all like, brr.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you a chance to let off some steam because we're going to get to Raw in a minute. But first, Danielle, could you please tell us all what's going on with Lucha as we approach the home stretch of this season?
Okay, so we're still in we're still in Ultima Lucha. I got to go back and remember because I watched it last week.
What is Ultima Lucha? Did we talk about that before?
Yes, we have covered what Ultima Lucha is.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so
Okay. I'm sorry, I forgot. I honestly, is
no,
it a tournament?
It's okay.
Is it the thing that's like a? Sorry, go ahead.
Well, so yes, Ultima Lucha is a battle royale.
Right.
This was Ultima Lucha Trace. It was very short this year, which people are like not super happy with, but that's fine. The exciting thing was they brought back a character that I love, who is an Exotico. And I'm gonna fuck this name up. Pimpinela Escalarta, who is like awesome, gay, kind of drag queeny. It's really hard to describe. Because before it was just always like, yo, Pimpy's cool and fuck you. And they did a bunch of like weird kind of gay panicky stuff.
Okay.
That I was not super into. That was kind of disappointing. But I'm excited to have Pimpy back for this episode.
You gotta start bringing visual aids or something. I'm lost as hell over here.
Welcome
man.
Back. Your mask was your ticket out.
But so I'm excited, but it's like, it's also, I mean, if it's over, then that was it. That's a wrap. It's a wrap on Pimpy, so that's fine. I'm trying to think. I'm kind of, for something to be wrapping up, this wasn't great, and it kind of bums me out.
You think they're going to go out with a whimper, not a bang? But they have another episode?
Another episode.
And they didn't know that this was potentially going to be it when they were filming it. Because
this was
filmed
like
a
year and a half ago or whatever.
Yeah.
This was filmed in like April of like 2016.
That's got to be the real challenge.
Jesus Christ.
That's
a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So it's hard because people are like, oh, Danielle, do you remember this spot when you saw it? And I'm like, no. Like, y'all know I have brain problems, and it was like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, your life completely changed since then, too.
Yeah, my life has completely changed, like, four times.
The last time you saw Lucha Live, Barack Obama was president.
Oh, God.
That's how long ago it was.
Yeah, Barack Obama was president.
I just made myself really sad.
Oh, yeah. Man, Barack Obama was president. I think I still had a job.
Boo.
Like a job, like a day job.
Yeah.
Definitely still had a boyfriend. Yeah, it was a whole thing.
Do you want to stop talking about Lucha now?
No. I'm trying to find things that I like.
It's only like a 45-minute podcast.
I'm bumming everybody out because I'm like...
it's okay.
Ivelisse came back, and that's great, and I love Ivelisse.
Great. That's one.
So that was fun, and...
this is like a book report for a book you have not read.
I'm just like, there's not...
And then what happened to Catcher in the Rye?
There isn't anything else that I really liked. Like, there was Katarina, and she did cool stuff, but I didn't...
You're like,
I'm the only one who talks about Lucha on this, so I'm trying to find a positive thing, but I will be real with y'all. Everything that happened on WWE in the last couple of days was better than the last episode of Lucha.
Ooh, that hurt.
Wow.
That hurt.
Ouch.
I hurt for you.
I feel bad too.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be sad. Sorry. Be dead inside like me. Then you don't feel any pain.
No, I like feeling things.
Feel nothing, Randy. Dead no. inside.
Feel nothing, Randy. If you guys,
this is Sister Abigail.
Oh,
I'm
no.
here to tell you to feel nothing.
Okay.
Here, man.
Okay. Lucha Underground was better than that.
What do you mean? I'm the best. Motherfucker! Goddamn! Don't I sound like a real girl?
Lucha Underground was better than that.
I'm a heel, motherfucker. I'm a heel and I'm real.
Why are we continuing to do the show after that? I think we that was the hot tag right there. All right, let's talk about the Raw Women's Division, where it looks like Emma is officially Asuka's first sacrificial lamb. Now, She was she Asuka's first match in NXT as well? She was at least an early match.
Had to be early.
And they had a really strong match there. We all know that Asuka gets the win here and continues her march towards probably either Royal Rumble or... Does this help Emma? If when they put on a good match, assuming they're given enough time, Emma's we've talked about this before, super talented, kind of underutilized and underappreciated, it would seem, on the roster. However, getting the nod to do this match is a big deal. They want someone who can take care of Asuka and make her look good.
Yes, but also protect the rest of the talent.
Correct.
I think that maybe we have to start being okay with the idea that there are enough women now that some of them are going to be jobbers.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
And I think that's Emma's going to do the job.
She's going to be in that Dolph Ziggler spot, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Helping all the upcoming gals get over, probably.
Yep.
Yeah. It's not a bad way to earn a living.
You're out there working.
No. Yeah. She's making money. She can do all of her Taste of Tennille's on YouTube if she wants to.
Taste of Tennille's?
She has a cooking show.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, where she makes things where she'd be like, today I'm making strawberry muffins or whatever.
Is her last name Tennille?
Her first name's Tennille.
Oh, her first name is Tennille.
Yeah, her name is Tennille because she's fucking super Australian or whatever.
And her last name is Kama and Captain.
I knew that.
Captain Ann. Damn it, I fucked it up.
I knew
was close.
Don't edit it out. I'm going to live in this shame.
But yeah, so she's got like her cooking shows on YouTube and... Yeah.
I know you've been waiting so long for these muffins to come out of the oven. So long.
And it's all like healthy versions of versions of foods you already like. I think I put it over during one of our first like
I remember that, yeah.
episodes.
This smoothie is so probiotic.
I think she had like Billy Kay or she had some Australian on there with her like yeah. eating something she had made.
They're like, oh, this is great. I love this. not great Australian accent, but it's in there. Hey. Just when you thought we'd reached peak Bray Wyatt, there's no way this clip is going to live up to what Mike did, but boy, did they find another bit of nonsense to throw on top. Here's a clip.
You just want to control everything. Bray.
Jesus Christ.
Bray is different. Bray is special.
You hear people laughing in the crowd. That's amazing.
From a young
this
age,
was what I was afraid
I
of.
I taught him that the world is a very evil place. I taught him secrets. I taught him that darkness is so much stronger than the light.
I'll tell you what, nobody's more shocked than me to learn that Sister Abigail is every alien in an early 80s low-budget movie.
It definitely sounds like something straight out of, like, Hercules. Like the Kevin Sorbo Hercules.
Hi, my name is Sister Abigail.
Touch the screen, Carolyn.
Carolyn. Wendy.
Rest in peace, Zelda.
Oh yeah. Oh, man. She's rolling over her grave like a hot dog on those rollers at 7-Eleven.
Who knew that they had just a Zelda synth machine?
I'm so excited for Finn Balor to... wrestle against the Moog synthesizer.
Oh, Jesus.
You know what it is? It's the beginning of the Main Street Electrical Parade.
Oh, God.
Ladies and gentlemen, Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt, and Finn Balor. It's the Main Street Wrestling Parade.
Oh, Jesus.
Doom, doo, 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 doo. Oh, if he comes down to Baroque Hoedown, I will shit and fall back in it. All right. Some smaller things before we wrap this segment
up.
Are you at all hopeful that Gallows and Anderson's TV time is going to amount to anything?
Oh, man. I can't be. I can't have any hope for anything.
I've stopped
like that.
With them. I want it to happen, but I'm just going to, I'm letting whatever happens to them wash over me.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because I can't, like, every time I'm like, they're going to do it. Nope.
Nope.
The only hope that I have is that now that WWE owns, like, Too Sweet and all that other stuff,
mm-hmm.
if they decide to start pushing that with the only dudes it makes sense to push that with, that would be how they would start using them again.
Okay.
Because they'll put people over to be petty. They did it with Ryback. They'll do it. They'll get you over. They'll get you over out of nothing if they want to be petty.
True. Let's talk about Titus O'Neil. Where would you grade his banjo skills?
Oh,
I'm going
Jesus.
To give him an F-.
Oh, boy.
His banjo skills? In entertainment, I
F-.
Give him a 100.
Oh, 100?
It was silly. It was bad.
This is a little too long, man. He could have did that same shit for about 20 less seconds, and I would have been there for it.
See, this is one of those things where I agree with you, I think he should have done 20 more seconds. So, because it gets to that point where it's so
Andy
long
Kaufman?
And so bad, yes.
Wait, I'm sorry. I need to go back for a second. If anybody out there in our Facebook group or on Twitter is like a skilled editor, will you please take Bray Wyatt's entrance music and then put the voiceover from the beginning of the Main Street Electrical Parade on top of it? Please, please send it. If you send that, if you do that and send it, I will put it over in next week's episode.
Nice.
I promise to you. Okay. Luke Harper and Eric Rowan as the Bludgeon Brothers. What? What are the, do they have a, is it a big hammer or a big axe? I can't tell what they're holding.
Yeah,
big hammer.
Yeah, bludgeon.
Oh, they're like steel.
Yeah, like right? two steels.
They're like two steels.
Yeah.
Two white steels.
Two white steels.
Two white steels.
That's what we were all asking for. We were asking for two.
That's what we wanted.
White steels.
From a guy.
White, not Shaq steels.
Mm-hmm.
That was what.
That was on my Christmas list for sure. It came early.
I just.
Every year
I,
it comes
I'm giving it. I'm giving it a shot. I'm giving it a shot.
I would advise you to not do that.
Yeah.
Jack!
No, you know, I mean, the Bludgeon Brothers, they,
Y'all know I have power over light bulbs.
I mean, it's fine.
That's what he stole from The Undertaker. His light bulb
His
power.
His light bulbs.
All right, finally, Kalisto is now Cruiserweight Champion. Do we like Kalisto as the champion? And does this being in the main event slot of Raw mean anything other than people are... realistically, again, I say this because I love the Cruiserweights. I feel like people are turning off their television early rather than watching. I know what they're trying to do. It feels like maybe it's not working. But again, I haven't even seen the ratings. I just know for me, I'm like, I read about it and then I go, I don't need to watch that.
I read some ratings report that... when people interpreted it, it made it look like they're tanking that last hour and
okay.
they're putting everything important at the end of the second hour. But I don't know. I haven't really paid attention to like while I'm watching the show to see if that's the case. But apparently that's what some people are saying.
All right. If you have any thoughts on the week in wrestling, let us know about it at facebook.com/group/tightsfights or at tightsfights on Twitter. When we come back, we'll take a look at the reunion of one of the best modern factions of WWE. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
I love it.
Oh, good
man,
stuff.
Every time.
Well, I hope that you're enjoying this podcast you're listening to as much as we are pretending to. But anyway, why not listen to another podcast too? It's called The Flop House.
And on our podcast, we have recently watched a movie, often a bad movie, and we review it on our podcast, but mainly talk about other stuff and, I don't know, hang out.
It's all about hanging out, feeling like you're being with your best friends. Who are your best friends? Us three. Dan McCoy, Emmy Award-winning writer for The Daily Show, Stuart Wellington, owner of the best bar in Brooklyn, Hinterlands, and Elliot Kalin, former Emmy-winning head writer for The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, former head writer of Mystery Science Theater 3000, The Return, so many things. Author of the upcoming children's book.
All right, that's enough.
The Elliot's credits just go on and on.
Yeah, but if you like the idea of listening to three funny guys talk about bad movies, then why not come over and listen to The Flop House? It's available at MaximumFun.org or wherever fine podcasts are found.
So get out of here.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin, and I'm joined in the booth by...
Daniel Radford.
And...
Michael Eagle.
The Shield.
Damn.
Hello.
The Shield was one of the things that received near universal praise from WWE fans. Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns ran roughshod over the roster for 2 years before going their separate ways. But now, after almost 3 years, they're back.
One of you. So, Roman, why don't you go back in the locker room and get Dean and Seth? Because by the looks of it, the rumors of the Shield reuniting are exactly what you are. Nothing but hype.
Who said anything about rumors?
This is surreal. This can't be happening. And I have a feeling the boys want to fight.
huge moment. How into the Shield were you guys when they first got going in 2012 and 2014? Because admittedly, that was a time when I wasn't really watching, so I saw them at the very tail end.
I was super into them. I started watching again. No, I caught all of that Shield stuff. Yeah, I was super into it. I was affected when they broke up.
Right.
Like, I was very affected when they broke up. And not just because the memes were great.
See, I loved the breakup and all the stuff that came out of it. Mm-hmm. And that, even for somebody who wasn't really regularly watching them, that was like, oh, this is, that speaks to how powerful they were. I did see their match against the Triple H and Randy Orton and Batista where they clean swept them. These guys are for real amazing. So what about you, Mike? Were you a big Shield fan?
Yeah, I thought they were great. The way that they were introduced specifically and just allowed to run roughshod over the entire roster at the time, I mean, main eventers to, you know, mid-card guys, it didn't matter. They were just running over everybody. And it was an intriguing storyline because they were brought up as part of CM Punk's, like, the involvement with CM Punk's storyline and make it seem like they were almost like his hounds.
Right.
And then it kind of intimated towards this kind of like almost, it felt almost like they were hounds of justice, but it was also like this kind of almost Ring of Honor little bit faction too. I mean, aside from Roman Reigns, the rest of those guys were like, the other two were pretty well-known on the indies.
Right.
So there was a little bit of that, too. You got Heyman involved. You got CM Punk involved. You got Rollins and Dean. And, I mean, I feel like that was one of the last big angles on Raw because they would just take over entire episodes.
Yep.
Like them and then, like, the ascension of Daniel Bryan. I feel like one of, like, two of the last, like, big angles to happen in a while.
They've been talking about a reunion of the Shield pretty much since they broke up. It's been, when are they going to bring them back together? It's always a matter of when, not if, generally in these situations. Does now feel like the right time going into a TLC pay-per-view rather than WrestleMania? I mean, does this... We've been talking a lot lately that they seem to be throwing the kitchen sink at us to try and get us interested and engaged. And certainly this is maybe the last big gun that they, their big shot that they have to bring us in. Does it feel like this is almost squandered, not happening at a bigger event?
I will take it at any time.
Okay.
And it's also like I get very fatigued and kind of irritated with the idea that good things and good storytelling only happens on the road, because it seems like that happens where it's like people come back, names come back, big things happen, but it only happens on the road. And as a fan who watches all year round, podcast or no podcast, that gets frustrating for me because I'm like, I would like some things to happen when I'm watching at other times. So it's not just like, well, we're treading water for 9 months and then you get 3 months of storytelling. So, I don't mind. And TLC to me is a big pay-per-view. Particularly, it's always been a pay-per-view that has been, when you think of TLC, you think of tag teams. Even though it isn't always, you know, now, obviously, it's more expanded or whatever, but TLC means tag teams. And so for me, it does feel like you bring back, like, this great threesome tag team that you had before.
And wasn't that their first ever match? Was it a TLC?
Was it?
I don't remember.
It was against Daniel Bryan and Kane and Ryback.
That was a great match.
So there you go. So maybe there's a little bit of symmetry there.
Yeah.
But I don't disagree with you. I hate when everything big is saved for big events. But also, like, this is huge. This is the most popular faction of the last 5 to maybe 10 years getting back together.
Most popular,
that to
new
me feels
faction,
like,
for sure.
Yeah. That to me feels like WrestleMania. That's what that feels like to me, is that that's the that's when you finally get the match. But I also understand.
Yeah, but WrestleMania is going to be the invasion of the MMAs, and we all know it.
Right. Oh, that's
so
true.
I would rather, instead of it being ignored, then when you have a possible Conor McGregor, a possible all these other names that are being bandied about, I'd rather have it now where the focus gets to be on these dudes who, and they're not wrong, have been workhorses in the company for, you know, years. Even as, like, more popular dudes have come in from the indies and Japan and TNA and all this stuff, these dudes have been here doing the work.
What did you think of their first night back?
Awesome.
Yeah, it was exciting, especially them attacking Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
I felt like I enjoyed the night overall. I maybe would have enjoyed the Braun thing being next week because I felt like, you know, there was a bunch of storylines being mashed together real fast. But, you know, it's all fine. I do think this is going to get Roman over as a face, mm-hmm. finally. And like I said, after the Cena feud, I do feel like it's a good time for them to pull the trigger on something like that for him. And the crowd seems to be really into it. I'm into it.
Yeah.
The only problem I think they're going to have is that music. Because us of the hardcore variety of fan are very used to a Pavlovian boo response when we hear that music because of the last 2 or 3 years of Roman Reigns. And I do feel like there's going to be a little bit of a hiccup in terms of them getting the full audio support from the beginning when that music hits.
Because
it's still kind of associated.
I think as long as
him.
They put in the
Sierra Hotel.
And if they do that, I think that'd be a big a great move towards blunting
that.
Yes, exactly.
Because without it, you still get you're right. Like, you still get that thing of like, oh, it's Roman.
Right.
So, but if they put back in the...
I think that's so important.
Because I think when the three of them come out, they should come out to the classic Shield music. And then when they're doing stuff separately, they come out to their own music. Much like Evolution or any of these other kind of big groups.
Do you think they should come out from the crowd?
No. I think it's done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's over.
I don't want to watch nobody twerk on Dean. I don't need it. I don't want it.
And neither does Renee.
Yeah.
So the Shield used to be a team of unknown renegades, but now they're each former WWE champions. They've all held multiple championships at this point. They're practically the establishment. How do they change up the act since they can't just be identified as the three rule breakers anymore? What's the new version of the Shield? Is it just we kick ass and run over people?
And that's pretty much what Roman said. He said, well, we are the three workhorses in this industry. I think they're just going to run roughshod over everybody. And I think the crowd's going to be really into it. They're just going to be like this juggernaut force. And that might be the best use of them.
Them being three separate dudes and then coming back together, it makes the Shield look stronger because on their own, they are each champions. They have done a bunch of stuff on their own. Even if people have floundered here and there.
Right.
When you're just looking at it on paper, these guys, they were a strong team. They broke apart. They all got success on their own. And now they come back. If anything, it feels like bigger than it was even when it first started.
So how long do they stay together? Do they have to break them up again? Or are they like the Wu-Tang Clan where it's just like they're all in it, but they all have their own things and then they come together?
I think that's exactly what you do. I think you Wu-Tang them. Like, I think that they can be still a stable and still have their own things that they do, but they're just like, they're dudes, they're brothers, whatever.
Right.
I think at this point, if you break them apart again too quickly, then that's it. Then people aren't going to... I think that you have to make this a good, long time of them being together. I think you can't break them up for 2 years.
I think at least 2 years. I agree. Because I mean... You got two things people care about on this show right now. It's them and it's Braun. That's the only two things people care about, you know? So I think you got to be really careful with how you treat that and really draw that along at a slow pace.
Finally, we said that the Miztourage didn't feel big enough for the Shield. We said that the Bar Mitzvah, didn't feel big enough either. Good name. Now, will the monster Bar Mitzvah, with the addition of Braun Strowman, be a worthy challenge for the Shield's first match at TLC, or is this just going to hurt Braun because he's going to lose?
I almost feel like I want Braun to join up with them, and then as soon as they all look like they're getting their ass beat, I want Braun to piece the fuck out and just be like, oh, I don't have to do this, and then just leave. Like he did that one sports night when they were all chucking basketballs, and he was like, I'm just here because I got it, and then he leaves. Like... I don't see Braun eating. I mean, maybe, but it would have to be the three of them. It's not going to be one dude.
He'll get the triple power bomb. Like they did.
The triple power bomb. I don't think it hurts Braun if it's the Shield. It doesn't hurt Braun.
They already did it too.
Like all three working together, it doesn't hurt him.
I kind of wish they had tried to get him up and then he'd fought them off. So that way, when they do it at TLC, it means something more.
I agree.
Because they'll finally done it to him.
But also, it could be one of those things where they try it at TLC and it doesn't work at first, and it's like, Braun's learning. You know?
he's got a neural net processor, yeah. A learning computer. If you've got any thoughts,
you're not going to do that again.
But then they do, and it's great. Yeah. We all love it.
If you've got any thoughts on the S.H.I.E.L.D. reunion, let us know about it at facebook.com/group/tightsfights or at tightsfights on Twitter. When we come back, it's time for three things we loved from wrestling. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
I'm Biz.
And I'm Teresa. And we host the weekly comedy podcast, One Bad Mother.
We celebrate our moments of parenting genius.
As well as our failures.
Just like, we're going to have hot dogs. And I'm like, no, we're having fun. Everybody loves hot dogs.
Yeah.
And it just like smashes that thing right on my chest. And then I'm just crying in the middle of like kids space while people are like literally dancing with their children.
Parenting can be sad and painfully funny at the same time.
So join us each week as we admit that this is hard, but we're getting really good at it.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you download podcasts.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland. I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Michael Eagle.
Every week we end the show by sharing some of the joy of pro wrestling with you. This is the Three Count. Danielle.
Okay, so I talked about it. If you're in the group, I put it in there, but I'm going to put it over again just because it's so good. I'm putting over WWE had, they had Dean and Seth come in and do commentary over kind of a best of mash of clips from their Hell in the Cell match. And it was awesome. It was just like Seth cracking jokes, Dean, a very hungover Dean, cracking jokes. use of the term libertarian Kane. It was great, and here's a clip.
Was it 2 years ago, was this?
Three?
This was three years ago. There you could look at you with your ninja kendo stick.
Yeah, that it really wasn't as cool as I thought it was going to be. I believe I thought there was going to be some cool weapons in there, and it turned out to just be a bunch of cleaning supplies.
I mean, cleaning supplies can in the right concoction become. Look how young you look.
Yeah, like I'm not as grizzled.
I'm not even close.
I mean, I'm already grizzled, but I'm not as.
No.
Now I'm just rode hard and put away wet.
Here we go.
Whoa.
Yeah, no, it's really funny. Like almost right after that, when Seth comes out, Seth is like, "Oh, look at that hair." He was like, oh, look at that streak. That also wasn't as cool as I thought it was going to be. And so the whole match, they're like, they're talking about the match, but they're also making fun of themselves and making fun of each other. Seth does an impression of Jamie from J&J Security. It's very, very fun, and it's well worth your time. It is incredibly entertaining. And it's just two dudes, like, hanging out. Part of it is, like, they do that thing where it's, like, you know, it's partially, like, kayfabe or whatever, but they don't super kayfabe it up. Yeah, it's really fun. So it's worth your time.
Nice. Mike.
Another couple of wrestlers have licensed our wrestling podcast technology.
What?
Yeah, it's happening. We're going to get a cut, so it's fine.
Okay.
Edge and Christian have Edge and Christian's Pod of Awesomeness. And on it, they have a gentleman who does an impression that I find absolutely fucking delightful. Apparently, this came from an impression contest that they had, and this guy won. And when you hear it, you will understand why. This is some guy I don't know doing Stone Cold Steve Austin on Edge and Christian's Pod of Awesomeness.
You think you know me? On this day, I see clearly everything has come to life. Bang, bang. Bang, bang. What? Sorry, I don't know the rest of the words, but I do love that song, Edge. Well, after listening to last week's Podcast of Awesomeness, I only have one question for you, Edge. What in the hell is Mock Mania?
Yeah, it just sounds like an excuse. It's good every time. And that's what I'm putting over this week.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to put over something from Hell in the Cell. Oddly enough, I'm going to put over Dolph Ziggler. I know a lot of people don't care for his new gimmick, but I really liked his entrance, which started traditionally, and then everything got turned off. And he
really
came out
it.
To heat. And this is what it sounded like, MFers.
Can't wait to see what Dolph has in store. He comes out dressed like Mantar. And his opponent,
no one
we're signing in Hollywood, Florida, weighing 218 pounds, Dolph Ziggler!
That shit's so obnoxious. You're probably wondering how I got here.
Yeah. I did like this. I thought this was the perfect version of this.
Yeah, I will say that needle scratch, when it's not followed by I Feel Good by James Brown, seems kind of out of place. Coming this summer is a crazy road trip. Wow, I feel good.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I bury something? It's very quick.
It's your show.
I'm going to bury how mean Brazongo was to the Ascension at SummerSlam.
I loved it.
It was not cool. They just wanted to be friends. I still love Brazongo, but you broke my heart. I'm not burying Brazongo. I'm burying how mean they were and how sad I felt when the Ascension slunk off, taking off their disguises and not being best friends with anybody. I'm done.
All right. That does it for Tights and Fights. We are a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network. This week, our hosts are Daniel Radford and Mike Eagle, along with me, Hal Lublin. Anything you guys want to put out there for the audience?
New album out still. Listen to it. Spotify it. Download it.
It's so great.
Thank you.
I listened to it in its entirety.
Yeah.
It's really great. And I suggest you could listen to any of the tracks and enjoy them a great deal. Listen to it all the way through and let it tell you a story.
Hello. That's enough. That's great.
Yeah, no, it was. It's a great album.
Thank you.
Yeah. Above my co-host, they like my album.
Mike's really good at music. You guys,
hey.
Who knew?
Mm-hmm.
Who knew? Not me.
Not me either.
Danielle, what do you want people to see, go do, look at?
As per always, Valiant Vanquished every Friday. Friday, what? Every Wednesday. Because I'm looking at Friday calendar. Valiant Vanquish every Wednesday on HyperRPG on Twitch. Doing the Crack Live podcast on the 14th. I don't know when that goes up, but it will go up on a day. So I work with Snarled a lot. They are very fun, awesome people. And they do a lot of creepy stuff for teens. But teens like ghosts and like dark shit now.
Yeah.
Teens love goth shit.
They love it.
They love it. So they are doing a 24-hour live stream. I guess,
just screaming?
Yeah. of just the sounds of murder.
A live scream.
An echoing baby.
Yeah, like a stream. I guess we'll be playing games and hanging out and doing stuff on YouTube. So Snarl 24 hours if you want to kind of peek in at any time during Friday the 13th, peek in and see what nonsense is up to. And I'm going to go out there and hang out for a little bit and then go get spaghetti or something.
Sweet. If you are listening to this and it is not yet Saturday the 14th, on that evening at 6:30 p.m., I will be at the Westside Comedy Theater in Santa Monica as a guest on my buddy Joseph Scrimshaw's podcast, Obsessed. Ooh. We're going to be doing a live episode all about Stranger Things. So you can follow Obsessed Podcast to get that information. Follow me, Hal Lublin, or follow him, Joseph Scrimshaw, just like the whalebone carvings. I know you get it.
I don't get it.
Our producer is the... is the winner of 2017's Producers Classic, Julian Burrell. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music as well. We're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long at facebook.com/groups/tightsfights and @tightsfights on Twitter. And if you love the show, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and share us with all your friends. Thank you so much to all of the Maximum Fun members who donate to this show and help keep the lights on while we're in the studio. We'll be back next week for even more. You guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.